Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 2. In verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Learn to have the mind of Christ in you. That is developed. That doesn't come on its own. You have to develop a relationship with the Word of God in order to have the mind of Christ in you. Learn to have the mind of Christ in you. God gave the Bible so we would know what God thinks. It's not only a history book. Historically, it's very accurate. But it's really there, including the historical stories, to show us what God thinks. To show us what He's like, to show us His heart, His attitude, to show us what is right with Him, what is not right with Him. He wants us to know how to think with His mind. And He gives us His mind in the Bible. So, in order for me to have the mind of Christ, I have to have a relationship with His Word. In order for me to have faith, without which in Hebrews 11:6 it's not possible to please Him, I have to have, in Romans 10:17, preaching. Faith comes by hearing. It's not the same as reading. Reading the Bible is very important for a different reason. Reading gives you substance. In other words, I want to know what it says. I want to be able to check out what the pastor is telling me for myself. That's where the reading comes in. But preaching, Paul described himself as an architect of faith. He was giving them the Word of God, and this is what every good preacher does, gives the Word of God line upon line, in other words, a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here, and precept upon precept. Precept is basically principles. A principle from the Word of God, principles are always something I can apply. So if I'm going to have the Word of God in my thinking, the idea is that I be able to apply it. If I don't apply it, it doesn't do me any good. So I need to get the full benefit. Now, I'm not talking about rules. Sometimes when you say we got to apply the Word of God, people want to use the Word of God as though it's a rule book. It's not a rule book. Applying the Word of God is a relationship. I want to have the most intimate, close friendship with God that I can. And that happens by applying the Word of God. When I apply the Word of God, that's when I see God come through for me. That's where He'll really start speaking to my heart. That's where He's really going to start drawing me close to Himself and getting close to me. That's where I really start, in John 15:7, seeing the answers to prayer. God is developing a relationship with you through the Word of God. And it's not about rules. It's a friendship. It's a very intimate, close friendship. That's why Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. He wasn't interested in just having a servant. He's got hundreds of millions of angels if that's all He wants. He wants friends. And that's what He made us for. Relationship. So when I apply the Word of God, I'm going for relationship. Now, He said, in order to have that, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. You possess the mind of Christ. Now, sometimes people admire somebody who is very smart. And that's fine, but who's going to be smarter than Christ? Sometimes people want counsel or advice from somebody they think knows more about something than they do. Okay, that's fine. That has its place, certainly. But who's going to know more or be able to counsel me more than Christ? I can be counseled by Christ for my personal issues in life if I have the mind of Christ. And so what I really want to rely on is the mind of Christ. Now, sometimes people say things like, well, I have my own brain, shouldn't I use it? And they'll sometimes try to attack those people who live by faith, accusing them of not thinking for themselves. Nothing could be farther from the truth. The only way to think for yourself is to think with the mind of Christ, to possess it for yourself. Sometimes people think that pastors are there to tell them what to think. They're not. No pastor has ever been placed on earth to tell people what to think. He's been placed there to teach them how to think. Think for yourself with the mind of Christ. Now, the mind of Christ is a lot different than the natural mind. In Isaiah 1:5, there's a real problem with the natural mind, and a lot of people try to go with the problem with the natural mind. But Isaiah says the whole head is sick. Okay, think with that. You know what it's like trying to think with your natural mind? It's like trying to run a marathon 5 minutes after you've had a heart attack. It's not gonna go well. All of the problems that exist in the world, yes, they're initiated by the enemy, but the enemy gets people to think with their natural mind. That's what he did with Eve in the garden. Look at it, Eve. It's the most beautiful tree in the garden. What does God mean you're not going to eat of that one? That one's amazing. Think for yourself, Eve. Now, he didn't give her the other side of the story, that it was in Ezekiel 31:18, his tree. He kind of conveniently left out what God said in Genesis 2:17, that this tree brings death. It's a good-looking tree. That's all he said. It's a good-looking tree. Go for that. You see, that's how people are sometimes. This makes sense to me on a natural scale. This makes sense to me with what I can figure out. Think with your own mind. School systems and culture and society teach us to try to think with our own mind. They ridicule those people who think with the mind of Christ. You know what? The mind of Christ gives me truth. How often do people say, wow, was that ever a mistake? Happens all the time. Why is that? They were thinking with the natural mind. It seemed good at the time. It seemed good to them based on what they could evaluate. But remember, what I can evaluate by sight, well, the way that vision works, it's only 10%. You can only see 10% of what's out there. Your brain fills in the blanks. And so, as you look around the room, all you're seeing is 10%. And then your brain takes that 10% and it paints a nice picture for you and you think you see the whole thing. That's why so many people see black cats in dark rooms. One of the most common misperceptions. You're in a dark room, what you're actually seeing is a shadow and you think you saw something move across, and most people will say, oh, that's a black cat in the dark room. There was no cat and there was nothing there. You saw a shadow, but your brain interpreted it as a cat. Very common. As a matter of fact, scientific studies have been done on that. Very common. Why? It's the way the brain works. Our brain is not equipped to think outside of the Word of God. It's not made that way. That's why when Satan got Eve to think outside of the mind of God, and then she got Adam to do the same thing, it had such bad results. Because they weren't made to think that way. They were made to think with the mind of God. Why was he in the garden, the cool of the day, looking for them? Because he was there every day in the cool of the day looking for them. What was he doing? He was fellowshipping with them. He was teaching them the Bible. He was giving them his word. He was loving them up. He was showing them how much he cares about them. He was taking care of them. He was there every single day with them. And then all of a sudden, Satan comes in with what he says to them, not in so many words, but in essence, I got a better idea. Why don't you think outside of the mind of God? Think for yourself, Eve. What did it lead to? Every human problem that has ever existed. That's what it led to. All the wars that have ever existed. All the problems, all the hatred, all the nastiness in the world. That's what it resulted from. Somebody started thinking outside of the mind of God. Why did it happen? The head is sick. The head doesn't have the capacity. The head is sick. Ever since the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden, the head has been sick. It's not able to do it. Then it says the whole heart is faint. Remember, heart speaks a frame of reference. The whole frame of reference can't hold up to anything outside of the Word of God. Why is it that sometimes people get the Word of God, but they can't do anything with it if they're not disciplined in it? Because the frame of reference doesn't work for them. It's faint. It can't sustain anything. It's like walking around lightheaded all the time, feeling like you're going to fall down and have the time you do. That's what it means to be faint. That's our frame of reference apart from the mind of God. And then it says in verse 6, from the sole of the foot even to the head, there's no soundness in it. But wounds and bruises, this is the result of natural thinking, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Those are infected sores. Oozing infected sores. That's what the head is. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. Untreated infections. That's all it is. That's what people think with when they think outside of the mind of God. When we put it in those terms, it becomes a little bit more obvious than, well, you got a mind, don't you think with it? Well, yeah, but my mind was not designed to operate outside of God's mind. Why is that? We're the body of Christ. Our mind is not designed to think outside of God's mind. We are designed for union with God, not for separation. If I think outside of the mind of God, I'm going to separate, just like Adam and Eve did. If I think outside of the mind of God, I'm going to get afraid. I'm going to see myself only, and I'm never going to see the truth. I'm going to interpret, but I'm going to interpret incorrectly. I'll see things, but I'll never be able to make heads or tails out of them because I can't consider them outside of the mind of God. In Romans 7:18, Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, in my physical body, in the natural brain, there's nothing good that dwells there. Well, if I have nothing good in me outside of God, if I have nothing good in me outside of the Holy Spirit, if I have nothing good in me outside of the Word of God, then that's a pretty significant clue that these are the things that I should think with, the Holy Spirit imparting the Word of God. That's where I get benefit. That's where I get reality. That's where I get truth. Never be intimidated by Satan's crowd saying, oh, you shouldn't think with the mind of God. Remember, Satan's crowd doesn't even know how to get to heaven. The very most simple thing that exists. But they don't know, because they don't think with the mind of God. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. The natural way of thinking will not lead you to the truth that God has defined. The natural way of thinking will never lead you to understand the real nature behind things. They're spiritually discerned. The natural way of thinking will leave you available to receive thoughts from your enemy. Never go down that road. It's not going to do you any favors. In Galatians 5:19, it says, the works of the flesh are evident. And then it gives you this whole list of really nasty conditions that people get into because they're in the old sin nature. They're in the natural mind. And then it finishes it off in verse 21 by saying people who practice such things will never see the kingdom of God. Things like adultery or fornication or uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry. Idolatry is when I put anything ahead of God. Sorcery, which is witchcraft, a form of rebellion. People rebel, say, I'm going to do it my way. That's, God calls that sorcery. Hatred, contention, strife, jealousies, anger. All these things, selfish ambitions. All these things. And then you get the obvious ones like murder and drunkenness and all that stuff. These are all because of the natural man. Never think outside of the mind of God. Never. Don't allow it. Don't let yourself have it. You know what happens when you think with the mind of God? The Holy Spirit in John 16:13 starts guiding you in truth, in the Word of God. And when the Holy Spirit starts guiding you, it produces what's called the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5:22 starts with the love of God. And then all these things that come from the love of God. Joy.
Well, joy's rough.
No, joy and peace and enduring patience. And kindness and goodness and faithfulness. The things that everybody longs for are the fruits of the Holy Spirit, gentleness and self-control. Those take place when I'm thinking with the mind of Christ, because that's when I'm fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Never get under the temptation of saying, well, I can do it my way, I can figure it out, I can do this without God. No, you really can't. It's a deception. You really can't. Millions of people have tried. Every single one of them have failed in the end. You really can't. The only way I can do things is God's way, because God created it. Everything there is, He created it. He tells us how to live this life. He tells us how to live in this world. He tells us how to live with Him. Why? Because He created all of it. Even though Satan is the god of this world system, thank you, Adam, even though Satan is the god of this world system, God teaches us how to deal with that. God teaches us how to have relationships. God teaches us how to do business. God teaches us how to do everything that we do. God teaches us how to be good students or good workers or good bosses or good company owners or whatever it is that we're into. God teaches us how to do it. Because God has a way of doing it. God has something to say about it. And so we always go with God's way. Now, in Proverbs 3:5, and guys, take this one to heart. Because it's reality. And a lot of people who've got experience with God found this to be absolutely true. It says there, trust in the Lord with all your heart. With your whole frame of reference, with everything that's in you, trust in the Lord. He'll never let you down. He's the only one who can't let you down. If I want to trust in money, money will let me down. Guarantee it, God will make sure of it. It's like that guy years ago was out in Baltimore soul winning one night. And I ran into a guy. In the morning he had $10 million, in the evening he had 10 cents. He had a bad day. It left in one day. When the stock market crashed, and the worst crash percentage-wise was in 1929, people were jumping out the windows, killing themselves, because they trusted in money. It's not reliable. It's here today, gone tomorrow, gone today, here tomorrow. God can give you all that you need and then some. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. That means He owns absolutely all the wealth in the world. It's under His control. People may think they control it. They don't control beans. He controls it. If I need something, God will give it to me. Absolutely guaranteed. If I need it, God will make sure I have it. That's not the same as if I want it. I may want a BMW. God says, you're fine with a Toyota. But I'll make sure you get your Toyota because I know you need it to get to work or something. He knows how to provide for us. And He does.
And by the way, a Toyota's pretty nice. It's not like he's stingy. It's not like he's going to give me something rickety, broke down, you know, worthless. No, he's going to give me pretty good. He may not give me what I want. He absolutely gives me what I need. Why won't he always give me what I want? Because sometimes what I want is the wrong thing. Sometimes what I want will hurt me and I don't even know it. He won't give me what he knows will harm me. But if he knows that it's good for me, he'll give it in abundance. He's not stingy. He's kind. And he's kind enough to go with what he knows about my needs. He knows a lot more about it than I do. You know why? He can see the workings of my mind, number one. He knows where it's all coming from, number two, and he knows the future. He knows what things will lead to if they come. And so it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Because I don't know the future, and 80% of what's in my mind I'm completely not aware of. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. That's what Satan tried to get Eve to do. Lean on her own understanding. Seems like this, doesn't it? People do that all the time. Seems like this. You have no idea. Seems like is the most worthless statement in the universe. Seems like? What does that mean? Seems like. What reflection of reality it seems like? It means nothing. People go with it all the time, but it means nothing. People make mistakes all the time. Lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. I don't care if they're big. I don't care if they're small. I don't care if it's life-changing. I don't care if it's a minor detail. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. Let me give you an example. Sometimes people think that the things they do commonly, do it all the time. They don't need to acknowledge Him. I'm so used to it, I can do it in my sleep. That's not really a good idea. For example, I always tell people, pray before you drive. You get in the car, before you turn on the engine, real quick, 2 seconds, you pray. God protect me out here. Why? You may be used to driving, you're not used to the guy who's coming through the intersection, going through the red light about to nail you. That you're not used to. And trust me that the enemy would love for that to happen. Acknowledge Him in everything. He'll direct your path. I can't tell you how many times it's happened to me with some frustration in some instances that what my planned route or my planned schedule or planned whatever was, God interrupted it. And I was a little frustrated, not realizing it was God who was doing the interrupting, because I wanted to get done whatever it was that I wanted to get done. And then I realized, had I been there a moment earlier or a moment later, it would have been disastrous. I think everybody's had that experience, especially in the car. I think everybody's had that experience. Wow, if I had been here 5 seconds earlier, this would not have gone well. Yeah, that frustrating red light, the one you never catch, and you caught it this time. You see, God does things we don't even know it. He controls everything we don't even know it. He takes care of us we don't even know it. He wants us to acknowledge Him. In other words, give me free rein. And I will do things for you. He's not going to go against your volition. That's your ability to choose. He's not going to go against that because He gave it to you. He wants you to offer it to Him voluntarily. And I'll tell you one thing that's going to happen. If you offer it to Him voluntarily, you're going to see Him moving in your life. You're going to see Him very, very active in everything you do. God's very interested. He loves you unbelievably. He's extremely kind. And he wants to be active on your behalf, working for you, helping you, taking care of you, guiding you. And by the way, making sure that your life is purposeful and meaningful. But he can't do it if you're going to operate in the natural mind. Amen?
If you don't know whether you're going to heaven when you die, and you would like to know, then ask Jesus to save you. Simply pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know you died for my sin. I accept what you did on the cross for me. I accept your mercy. I accept your forgiveness. Come into my heart and live. Save my soul and take me to heaven when I die. Amen.